not a sermon, and I am not a reverend. I'm just one of you. And my name is Auntie Laurie, or Auntie if you're fancy. I'm a Coda non-aholic overcomer. It is so good. I'm quite glad to see each and every one of you here tonight. It's wonderful when we gather together and online and here in person especially. My dad passed away about almost 5 years ago now. And the thing that struck me, the first thing that struck me was, I don't have anyone to be proud of me anymore. And when Brett was up here giving the communion devotion, which was excellent and tied into my message, we did not plan that, but I noticed he has some people here who are proud of him. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so I am very glad to be here, and I am very glad. Yes, I need Shay to be proud of me. I do. I need Shay to be proud of me, and I invite people so there'll be someone here to be proud of me standing up here. My lovely assistants are ready to pass out Bibles, pens, bulletins. We'd have some fill in the blanks tonight. Put your hand up and keep it up. They will give you a Bible, pen, bulletin, whatever you need. And keep your hand up so they can see you. First prayers, last prayers. As you know, we've been focusing on prayer around here at Serenity Church for the last few weeks. Tongue in cheek, we say we are the church that prays too much. On page 86 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says this about the first prayer of the day and the last prayer of the day. On awakening, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness. So prayer is the kingpin of 12-step recovery, and of course, with my walk with Christ. There's a lot of information online about prayer. Some say there are 3 kinds of prayer. Some say there are 5 kinds of prayer. Some said there are 10 kinds of prayer. Some said there are 12 kinds of prayer. As usual, the Google Theological Seminary is kind of confusing at times. Yes, it is. But I'm going to use this list of 5 types of prayer. This is your first fill in the blank. 1, adoration. That's our love for God and recognition of His godness. 2 is confession. I messed up. 3 is intercession, that's requests for others. 4 is petition, that's requests for myself. And 5 is thanksgiving, that's where we speak out our gratitude for God's protection, provision, and progress. So these are examples of topics we communicate to our Heavenly Creator. It isn't meant to be an exact formula to be followed. As I was preparing for the message tonight, I started thinking about the first prayer I could remember praying, and I remember it well. It was a prayer of petition, which is a request for myself. I was 8 years old, and I remember it like it was yesterday, but let me back up a little bit. Before I was 6 years old, my life was pretty stable. My parents were very young, and they had 3 kids, bam, 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 but I felt loved. They would pray with me at bedtime. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That is not a very uplifting prayer to pray with young children. No wonder I did not like to go to bed. But that's the way we prayed back in the olden days. I noticed on Google that they've changed the words a little bit. It's a little more uplifting. The first prayer I remember praying spontaneously was when I was 8 years old. A lot of bad stuff happened to me ages 6 through 9. First, my mother divorced my daddy, and soon after, she married the stepman. The stepman was kind of chasing fame and fortune, so financed by my mom's divorce settlement, he loaded up my mom and her 3 children and ripped us away from our home in California, in Oklahoma. It was California, here we come. And so began 3 years of dismaying and devastating abuse of every kind, as well as neglect of our basic needs. The stepman and my mom spiraled into the wreckage of addiction. Alcohol, drugs, violent fights, suicide attempts, and shady characters around the house. Money was misspent, debts piled up, and we kids suffered the most. We went to multiple schools during those years because we would be awakened in the middle of the night, shuffled into the car, allowed to grab as many possessions as we could take with us in the car, and skip out on the rent. It's not too bad being the new kid in school if you start at the beginning of the school year. But I was always new after school started, and I hated it. Right after school started for third grade in California, we moved to Port Arthur, Texas. I don't know why. They might have been looking for a geographical solution, but it was awful. No offense to people, or maybe a person, who might love Port Arthur. But the contrast between Torrance, California, and Port Arthur, Texas, was extreme, even in my 8-year-old mind. The climate, the smells, the mosquitoes, and fire ants, and the mean Port Arthur kids. I was the friendless new girl in school again. Things were even worse in Port Arthur because by then I didn't have proper clothing or food, much less school supplies or lunch money. But my miserable life got hopeful one day when I came to school and the teacher put a mimeographed paper on my desk. "Join Campfire Girls today. We have so much fun and you can too." I had noticed these very special girls wearing their red vests and their cute little ties. They were happy. They were confident. They were respected. They had friends. They fit in. Yes, please. The instructions said I would need to bring 25 cents as dues. That would be a problem, but I had a resource. I managed to scrounge up the dues by acquiring some Coke bottles to return to the grocery store for a deposit. Does anybody else know about that? How I acquired some of them is not very far from where we lived. There was a bar, and then half a block from there was a grocery store gas station. Well, the bar, they put their Coke bottles out behind the building in racks just behind the building, and so we would get as many as we could carry and take them down to the gas station grocery store and cash them in. 2 cents went a long ways back then. The big day came, and I found my way to the address on the mimeographed flyer. I will never forget the anxiety that I felt standing on that porch, lifting up my hand to knock on the door. I was so nervous. The lady smiled when I first walked in, but then some of the girls from my class recognized me and began whispering to the mom group leader. She told me to go sit on the kitchen floor by myself. It was troubling, but I would endure anything to be a campfire girl. The mom circled up for a quiet powwow in the living room. One mom came over to me and told me to get up. Oh, good, I thought. I get to sit with the other girls on the couch. But here's what she said. I'm sorry, but you will not be able to join our group. It is very expensive to be a campfire girl, and we don't think you can afford it. With a surge of hope, I stuck out my hand with my 25 cents. The woman said, dues have to be paid every week, and you will need almost $10 for your uniform and your vests and your patches. There are other expenses with activities, and even if you could get the money, the other girls do not want you in our group because of how you smell. The whole house smells like pee with you here, so you need to go. She opened the door and pointed out. Now, this incident, I have been getting comfortable with this and reading this out loud. And every time I would read that, until like the last two times, my neck would get red and my face and ears. I'm finally desensitized to it. That 60 years later, that's the effect. I stumbled out the door crying and ran as fast as I could toward home. Home, where it wasn't safe to take a bath or even use the bathroom because I would be trapped and the stepman could get me. When the stepman was home, I used the bathroom under bushes in the neighborhood, sometimes in buckets in people's sheds or in the corner of an open garage. I hardly ever took baths. Mama didn't make me because she was usually gone or she was asleep. My clothes didn't get washed. My brother and I went dumpster diving a lot of days after school looking for food or pop bottles to sell or smoked cigarettes. You know, sometimes people leave that much on them. I probably smelled pretty bad. I took a shortcut home that night through an alley that went behind my house. There was a small grove of pine trees in that alley, and they are still there almost 60 years later. I looked on Google Street View. I found the house we lived in, and there are those pine trees, which is, in a way, an altar for me. I was glad to see that they're still there. I love pine trees. They have pine cones. And who wouldn't love this? I do. They have pine cones, and they smell good. That night, I put my arms around the steady, solid trunk of the biggest tree, and I pressed my nose against the bark and smelled it, sniffed it. I looked up through the branches at the darkening sky and prayed the first spontaneous prayer I remember praying. Please, God, please, can't you make someone like me? I try to be good. I don't know what to do. Why can't you help me? Why am I always by myself? I'm always by myself and no one likes me, and you won't help. I'm scared. I don't have anybody. I don't have any friends, and you won't help me, and I don't know what to do. I can't live like this. Please, God, please help me. This was the anguished prayer of an 8-year-old. I was not following a prayer formula. I was just pouring out my heart to the higher power of my understanding. Was that prayer ever answered? You tell me. Does anyone here like me? Do I have any friends here? You are an answer to prayer. Christina, didn't you say that I smell good tonight? An answer to prayer. It wasn't the good ship lollipop immediately after I prayed that prayer under the pine trees. Things got worse before they got better. And after I became an adult, I had to unlearn a lot of wrong beliefs I picked up in childhood. But no doubt, that prayer from almost 60 years ago is still being answered abundantly. I am never alone again. So when Jesus taught us to pray with the Lord's Prayer, it was not meant to be a rigid formula. Prayer is heartfelt communication with our heavenly Creator. And I think that is why I remember that prayer so vividly, is because it truly was a spiritual experience. Your next fill in the blanks. When we pray, we aren't trying to persuade God to join us in our way of thinking. We are pouring out our hearts to Him, learning about Him, and learning to trust Him so that we align with His way of thinking. Prayer aligns us intimately with Him and His kingdom of love. As I was pondering, well, how did Jesus pray? I remembered the prayers of Jesus on the cross. The first prayer begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? The first prayer of Jesus on the cross starts in anguish. His words are hard to read and hard to imagine. But there is something very special about those words. This isn't the first time this prayer was prayed. Hundreds of years before the crucifixion, King David, under prophetic inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the prayer Jesus is praying on the cross. It is not recorded in the Bible that Jesus prayed the entire prayer, but I feel certain he knew the prayer well and was saying it in his heart. King David's prayer, prophetically, step by step, describes the details of the crucifixion. Probably everyone here is familiar with the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Everybody knows that. Well, go back one chapter to the 22nd Psalm, and that is where this prayer is. So that should help you remember. I'm going to read some of it, and I hope you'll take time to read all of it later. Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2. This is the voice translation. My God, why have you turned your back on me? Your ears are deaf to my groans. Oh, my God, I cry all day, and you are silent. My tears in the night bring no relief. And then down to verses 14 through 18. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones have slipped out of joint. My heart melts like wax inside me. My strength is gone, dried up like shards of pottery. My dry tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And maybe this is why Jesus wasn't, it's not recorded that he audibly recited the whole prayer. You lay me in the dust of death. A throng of evil ones has surrounded me like a pack of wild dogs. They pierced my hands and ripped a hole in my feet. I count all my bones. People gawk and stare at me. They make a game out of dividing my clothes among themselves. They cast lots for the clothes on my back. Jesus was living this prayer from the 22nd Psalm, line by line. And in a way, I felt the same the night I prayed the prayer under the pine trees. Then Jesus prayed the last prayer that's recorded in Luke during the crucifixion, Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But the 22nd Psalm is not over. It goes from anguish to victory, just like the crucifixion did. Psalms 22:24. This is another fill in the blank. He has not despised my cries of deep despair. He has not turned and walked away. When I cried to him, he heard and came. How does God respond to the anguish of his children? He hears and he comes. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He's roaring, roaring like a lion. I almost went over and pulled the fire alarm when the praise band was singing that song. That was awesome. Not on the cross anymore. He is roaring like a lion on the inside of me. A few months after I prayed the prayer under the pine trees in Port Arthur, Texas, I was back in Oklahoma along with my brother and sister. We were living with my dad. We were safe. We had food. Our clothes were clean. Daddy took us camping and other fun stuff. We were cared for. My dad put us in summer school to make sure we were at grade level because things had been a little chaotic the previous couple of years. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. We went to summer school. My reading was way above level, so the teacher had me teach a Korean boy and his sister how to read English. The boy was a couple of years older than me, and the girl was younger. We sat together for hours reading. Sean, I might need your help again. Reading our new friends. I felt kind. I felt smart. I felt important. Doing service work built my self-esteem. And what Ken shared fits in beautifully with that. And no, we do not choreograph the services that way. But we don't. We people don't. But someone does. The value of service work in to me, I went from feeling like I would never have any friends and life was not worth living to feeling good. I felt like a teacher. I loved that. At the end of summer school, the Korean family thanked me and praised me in Korean. The mom and dad couldn't speak very much English, but their son could by then. My teacher gave me the book to keep. It's very precious to me. My first prayer under the pine tree was, in essence, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eventually, years later, my prayer became, Father, thank you for comforting me in my distress and making me whole. Help me to comfort others as you have comforted me. What was meant for evil against me has been repurposed by God into grace, because love never fails. But Aunt Laurie, why didn't God protect you from that evil in the first place? Why is any child a victim of evil? Here's your last fill in the blank. Simply stated, here's what I believe. God has assigned human beings to be good stewards of the earth, protectors of the vulnerable, and uplifters of the oppressed. The Bible lists widows, orphans, and strangers. For us, in other words, the powerless, the lonely, the worthless, the disenfranchised, the marginalized, the excluded. As stewards, we can choose to use our agency and our resources for good or for evil. If evil didn't exist, there wouldn't be a true choice. Yes, our Creator could have set it up differently where evil could not be carried out against children or others who are vulnerable. But if we are to have free will, there must be something to choose from. Every day, like the big book, first prayer and last prayer, every day my motivation can be the evil of self-pity, dishonesty, self-seeking, or the motivation can be love. Without free will, there can be no love, because real love can only exist as a choice, not a coercion or a manipulation or something that I accidentally fall into. It is a choice. Evil happened to me while I was under the stewardship of my mother. She was blinded by alcoholism and severe codependency. It ended up costing her her children and her life. Forgive her, Lord. She didn't know what she was doing. First prayers, last prayers. I told you about my first prayer under the pine tree, and I haven't prayed my last prayer yet. But someday when I do, it will be the prayer of adoration and thanksgiving for this beautiful life I have been given. And if you don't feel the same way about your life, keep coming back. If you would like to have someone pray with you tonight, that will be available in the back during our last song. But I would like for you to pray with me our Serenity theme prayer. You say the bold part, Jesus is Lord. To be the church for the broken and powerless. To be bold about the name of Jesus. Grateful for the blessings and the struggles. Thy will be done. Amen. And thank you for sharing.